This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Have you tried everything to solve that chronic problem with your pet? Maybe it's anxiety, maybe aggression, maybe something else, but you just can't figure out what it is. Have you ever thought to ask them what's wrong and how you can fix it? My guest today does just that. Susan Vaughn is an animal communicator who's been talking with animals for a long time. She's got some amazing stories to tell and great info about how pet communication might help you and your animal. I'm Jody L. Teich, and you're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. We're going to take a short break from our sponsor. So grab that favorite beverage, that healthy beverage, get comfortable, and we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jody Teich, your host. Susan Vaughn has helped pet parents with all kinds of behavior issues with their pets. She does this by hearing from them what's the matter and learning how the pet parent can help. She was born with a gift. She might not have known it until she was older, but she was born with something, and she is going to tell us all about what she does and how she does it. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Jody. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Welcome to the show. I want to start by asking you to tell everyone what it is that you do, because people hear animal communicator, they have their own ideas about what that is. Tell people what you do.
Well, I certainly do something unique, something that many people think is impossible. And what that is communicate directly with animals. So it seems like a kind of a far out idea, but actually it's not. It's just ancient. The Maori people of Australia and New Zealand, the Native American people, and many, many indigenous tribes have communicated directly with animals for many years. They used to do it on the hunt. They still do it on the hunt in indigenous cultures in Alaska and many, many places. So I'm just bringing this more to the mainstream and bringing an ancient tool that we used to use back to the forefront. If you want to know what's wrong with an animal, ask the animal. And that's what the indigenous tribes say too.
That is really interesting. I didn't know, although it makes perfect sense, that the indigenous tribes talk to them, that the hunts, what became the Iditarod today, those kinds of original hunts that they talk to the animals too, to the dogs. I didn't know any of this. That's very, very interesting.
They ask the animals to put forth the animals that are willing to be food.
Oh my God.
And there was a really interesting story about that, if I might share it.
Yes.
In Washington State, that the hunters were saying, this is so weird. Sometimes they present an animal and it's easily hunted, a deer, and sometimes not. So a group of us tuned into the deer and they said, wow, this is so weird for us. Sometimes we're safe here, and sometimes the humans come to shoot us and we don't get it. So what we did was that we did one hunting season and we said, could you make your older, frail, or other animals available for the hunt? And the hunters reported that year wow, that was so different. That was the easiest hunting season we were ever a part of. So it was really interesting.
It is. Oh my God, that is like goosebumps, you know, very, very wild, but not hard when you think about it to believe, because we're all connected. We're all energy. That's something I want to talk with you about more. But first, I would love to talk with you about how you first knew when you had gifts.
Well, you know, I've always been in the communication business. I was in the broadcast news business. I was a radio host. I was a talk show host. I was a newscaster. I was a producer. So I've always been in that realm. And I've always been also interested in psychology. So these two things coming together were practically made in heaven for the work I do now. And I wondered how they would come together. But when I was in the broadcast news business, I did psychic readings for people on the weekend. I thought that would be very cool to develop that. And I was very intuitive. And I really didn't know if I could do it, but it seemed to really help people. They said it was right on, it was accurate. And I'm a very spiritual person also. So I do my meditation, I do my mental health work. I make sure that I'm clear enough to bring in a clear message. And these are the groundworks for doing it. So on 9/11, the towers were hit in New York City. And that almost changed everything for me, practically my whole life. And a lot of people's lives were changed by that. But for me, I was sitting in a newsroom waiting to get my assignment. And the news director said to me, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to find people who are related to somebody who was in the towers. And my heart just dropped. I just said, oh my gosh, I can't continually pursue negative news, pursue people who don't really want to talk to me. I just can't do it anymore. And I really cried out to heaven, please send me inspiring work. And people started calling me about their animals. And I was like, is this really a thing? So I practiced for 5 or 10 years for free to see if it really was a real thing. Plus, I had another career. I didn't want to do anything that would be dishonest. And I wasn't familiar with the work. So about that time, I also moved to the Pacific Northwest and I had a lot more time on my hands. And I began to find out who else was doing it. And I found my mentor in Penelope Smith.
Yes, I was going to ask you about her, learning from who you called the grandmother of interspecies communication.
Right. And she had been in the mid-70s. So, but it wasn't only Penelope. It was the people who were doing the work. They were advanced, degreed, mostly women, but mm-hmm. they were CEOs, CFOs, people who had found their work to be something that didn't resonate with them. And so I resonated with those people. Plus, I thought, wow, these are very high caliber people. There must be something here. Plus, the households became more harmonious that I worked with. The people were amazed. The spiritual world was happy. The animals were thrilled to be heard from. And there was just so much healing taking place that I decided, well, this is really a thing.
That's amazing. That is beautiful. You answered several questions that I was going to ask you. But I do want to come back to this idea, well, this fact that we're all made up of energy. Everything around us is made up of energy. Everything vibrates on its own frequency. And the idea of animal communication around that concept and being... Well, there are a couple of things that you said that were interesting. You said that you make sure that you do your own self-empowering, growing work. So you are clear enough in your sort of container, if you will, to be able to receive. And I think that's super, super important, especially because you're going to be sharing something when we come back from the break with pet parents listening about what they can do, how they can learn to do this at home. So doing our own work for anything having to do with dealing with other people and animals, I think enhances it all. So with that in mind, and the fact that we are all energy and everything is vibrating on a frequency, what do you think about that as it relates to what you do and what you've learned over the years about communicating with animals here and maybe even from the beyond?
Well, we, like you say, we are all energy, and you just tap into certain energies. Or in my case, I ask my soul guides to assist me. I don't do this work alone, but I do this work with the unseen. And that's part of what you're referring to also.
Yeah.
So the unseen energies, you know,
yeah.
I request help from my soul level guides. And I also go to the place where we are all one. The place where we are all one is the place where we're all souls of the same kind of vibration. You might call it the causal or the astral plane. It doesn't matter to me. I just ask for help on that part. So that the message will be accurate. Accuracy is my big thing that I strive for because I've been in the news business and that's what it's about.
Yes.
So accuracy is big, but when, even when an animal is passed on, it's the same process. It's the same tapping into the all that is. It's the same soul energy. So we go to a place of energies. We ask for help. And when we've done our work, then for me, I'm very visual. So pictures come in, feelings come in, ideas come in. And sometimes I have to share the picture with the person to say, does this make sense to you? And they say, yes, that makes sense to me. Sometimes it makes no sense to me, but sometimes with them, it makes a lot of sense.
But what great validation. That's amazing.
Yes, it's wonderful when you get that. And sometimes people are just puzzled. You know, they didn't see their animal that way, and they just wonder, you know, if that is legit, you know.
That space, I certainly have felt it when I'm in a really good meditation and I'm meditating regularly, where you kind of leave where you are and you go beyond and you're just kind of outside of yourself and very at peace. And that to me, I think they call it, is it the alpha waves in the brain?
Possibly, yeah. There's a lot of different waves.
I know. I think it's alpha, but it's from that place where you can create. And there are the mind is just an unbelievable tool for us to create everything that we want and to heal not only ourselves, but others near and afar. And it is, I think, from that place where we can do all that. So that makes total sense to me.
Yes, manifesting.
Manifesting, exactly right. I would love to talk more about the kinds of issues that people come with, you know, to you to solve with their pets and about how people can try something like this at home. But we're going to take a short break first. And when we come back, we're going to learn about this exciting aspect of pet healing and pet and their people healing.
Yes.
That Susan facilitates and the kinds of things that you can help your animal heal from and you in the process and how to do it at home. So refresh that healthy beverage, get cozy, and we'll be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. If you've just joined, I'm Jody Teich, your host of the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. And we are here today with my guest, Susan Vaughn, who is an animal communicator and is really bringing to life the very vivid, deep, powerful work that she has learned to do with animals to help heal them and their pet parents as sort of a guide. And I'm really, really thrilled to have her. So, Susan, what kinds of issues do pet parents generally come to you with to help them solve in their pets?
A lot of times people come with end-of-life issues. They'd like to know what their pet wishes to do in regards to surgeries, treatments, or euthanasia, or if they would like to pass on naturally. That's a big one that people come to me. People often come to me with unexplained behavior. Why does my dog do that? Why does my cat do that? They also come to me when they say, we're going to introduce a new dog. Is that going to work out with our old dog? Or we're going to introduce a new cat to our household. Will that work out? Or we're going to let this feral cat in. Is that going to be okay? How can we work with that? Unexplained behaviors is a big part of my practice. Why does my animal do that? And why won't my dog listen to me when I tell him, don't get on the counter and eat the people food?
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
For big dog owners, parents. Yeah.
I had one recently where they said, we're putting our little dog in a crate at night and she just screams the whole night. Oh. What's the deal? Oh. So that was an interesting case.
Yeah, I would love for you to share a couple of stories about things that you have been able to find out from the pets that have helped them and the pet parents. Any stories to share?
Sure. One of my favorite stories is about a cat by the name of Isabelle. Isabelle is a cat that was feral. She lived in the bushes in one of those apartment complexes that are called, the woodlands or something, but lots of woods around. So she lived there in the bushes, and she would come and visit some clients of mine, Meredith and John. They lived upstairs in these apartments, and it was a very busy, noisy place up those stairs. But they fed her there on the landing, and they wanted to help her out with food. But she made it very clear, I do not want to be a domestic cat, and I'm not going inside. So don't even think about it. So pretty soon Isabelle had kittens, and John and Meredith said, we would like to help her out and we would like to get her spayed. And so I asked Isabelle, would you go along with this? The reason why we do this is because we want all cats to be wanted and we want to care for you. This is how we're offering to care for you. She said, yes, I'll do that. That's always surprising to me when it's a feral animal who's saying yes to surgery. So I check like 6 times. Are you sure? Are you sure? So she said, yes. So my client, Meredith, she called the vet and the vet said, we can get you in tomorrow. And she said, I don't know how this is going to work. Isabelle isn't in here, but okay, I'll take it. Then the vet called back and said, we have 2 other openings because we know you have the kittens and we know they're of age for this. So I asked Isabelle, she said, yes. So Isabelle came to the top of the stairs. She meowed at the door. Feral cats are very stealth and they're very quiet usually. And so was Isabelle. So they were like, Isabelle is meowing out there. Let's open the door. So they open the door. Here's Isabelle with one of her kittens. So Meredith grabs up the kitten, takes it into the bedroom where they were going to be recuperating. I told them it's 2 weeks of recuperation inside the house. They said, okay, we get it. And then 5 minutes later, Isabelle brought her other kitten up the stairs. So all 3 of them were there ready for the vet appointment. They all were spayed, neutered. They spent their 2 weeks in the bedroom. They were happy. They played. I got a little video of them playing. It was so inspiring. I mean, to me, because I don't know, it's just, that's one of the miracles of the work.
Unbelievable. I have to share something as a contrast. We, without communicating with the feral cat, we had to trap a feral cat that we thought was close to the cat that we took to help rehabilitate and then fell in love with from the same small feral community who didn't seem to be feral, but we thought they were close. We thought maybe even they were related. And so we got this cat, and from the second that we brought him into our house, he was very unhappy to be there. And I didn't know better, but I cracked the window in the bathroom that I had him in the first couple of days. It had a screen. The next morning, I came in to check on him and feed him. He had opened the rest of the window. He had scratched a 6-inch wide hole in the screen, and he was gone. So that is a real contrast to what you were saying. And maybe if, you know, I had known you then and you had asked him, he could have told us he's not the least bit interested. No, he is not close with Suki because she hated him. And that it was a bad idea to try and trap him and save him. So yeah, that's an amazing story, Susan.
I often have cases like that in which the cat tells me, look it, I signed up for trap and release and they're not releasing. You know, I'm willing to be fixed, but what the heck? Now they're putting me into this house and I have no idea how to function within walls.
Got it.
And so where's my trees? Where's my bugs? Where's my, you know, stealth nature?
Yeah.
So it does happen like that. You know,
Do you have another story to share?
Sure. This little dog that was screaming in the crate, he was so distressed. And what he told me was, I have to get very dramatic for my person to listen to me at all. So she was telling me, he's so willful. And he was telling me, she's so willful. He was telling me, she gets on her Peloton bike and she will not get off of that bike to let me out. How would she like it if I kept her from her toilet when she had to go?
Wow.
And so she said, yeah, I'm willful. And so he was not only crazy in a small place, he had a certain amount of claustrophobia for another thing, but he was on heavy drugs and they were trying to prolong his life. But he was on at least 5 major drugs. And he told me he was nauseated. He couldn't eat. He was dizzy. He was sick. There was 5 major drugs. So he was out of his mind, you know? And he said, finally, after I screamed all night, they let me at least lay on the couch to where I could get myself together. But I was desperate to just get my feet on the earth and feel better.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah. I send those people to you.
Oh, they were one of the people. Oh my God.
You know, I tried with that people. I'm not sure they came to you, but anyway,
no.
People like that, I say, hey, I've got somebody who can help you with more natural remedies.
Yeah, people have to be ready and everybody's in a different place on their journey. But I do want to share, and I hope I don't get too emotional. I might have mentioned when you and I spoke earlier that my dog Sophie had congestive heart failure, and I had her on this big, beautiful complementary meets conventional protocol, and that, you know, we had ups and downs, but that she had some really good days or good parts of days, and I lost her on Monday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. She actually died in the house in my arms, and I wish that I had thought about you to do something with us, because she was mobile and active right up until it happened. It happened very, very early Monday morning. I woke up to her, these little, you know, faint gasps, and her heart just gave out. So it was quick, thank God. But the day before, you know, she was chewing on, you know, a chicken neck, and she was barking at a squirrel in the tree in the backyard. You know, she was out and about, and I could have found out what she wanted or what was going on for her. I could have found out a number of times. And of course, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up about that. I'm just grateful that she's free. But this is the thing that's really great to know for people listening, that if they do have a dog that's ill and they want to tap into their wishes of how they'd like to go, when they're ready to go, and give them that dignity because they can't talk to us in a way that people talk to people. Right. In a human version of that situation, that this is a wonderful way to do that and to reach out to someone like you, because there are a lot of pet communicators out there and not every pet communicator is of the same caliber. And I've experienced that because I've talked to several animal communicators and, you know, everybody's different.
Yes.
So it's a really great gift to be able to give to your animal, to consider them on that level when it's time for them to go.
I can tell you that your dog is saying, what a great way to go.
I hope
so. Much rather not be on chemo for 10 years or something like that. I ran into a dog today who told the people, look, I've had a couple surgeries and you guys are thinking about chemo and I don't think I'm going to survive it, but they're going to do it anyway. So, but anyway, your dog is, this is exactly how I wanted to go. I wanted to be happy and joyful, take a few deep breaths and pass out of the body. It was a very happy passing. You should know that.
I am so happy to hear that because, you know, you wonder, you know, I literally was running out the door with her in my arms to take her to the ER. And I knew as soon as I got into the garage, she wouldn't even make it into the car. So she was already dying by the time I bolted up in bed and ran to her, over to her. So I'm just praying that I woke up very quickly, which I normally do with the animals, and that it was very quick, because it was very quick once I did jump up.
Did you want to, or did you say, I would like to have her, I would like to be with her when she passes?
No, but I was very grateful that she made the decision for us, because I wondered a few times, especially in the last week of her life. There were parts of the day when she was having more trouble breathing, because in addition to the congestive heart failure, sometimes what happens is they get a collapsed trachea from all the pulmonary hypertension in the lungs. And that's what happened with Sophie. And so, I mean, I was doing ozone therapy on her, all sorts of stuff, but she was having some trouble breathing at certain times of the day and it was becoming more prevalent. And so I was wondering more and more, when is the right time? Because I definitely didn't want her suffering.
Right.
And so I'm grateful that she made the decision. And I also saw in the last week, you know, her appetite waned and, you know, I would have to force feed her at times, which was horrible and demoralizing for her, I'm sure. And maybe that exacerbated things and sped up the timetable. And I'm even grateful for that, because I hated doing that with her. And I'm sure there are pet parents listening who can relate when they are at that stage of life where they have to do things, whether it's pill them or get these treatments to try and prolong their lives, and it's demoralizing for them, that, you know, it's just a horrible feeling. So, yeah, I'm just kind of glad that she's free. Yes. But it's so good for you to be now so firmly on my radar to talk to other people about, and hopefully people listening to think of when they have questions about their pets. The other thing that I wanted to ask before I ask you if there's anything else that you'd like to share is, can you also help people communicate with their pets from across the bridge when they pass?
I can bring through the messages and I can kind of help them. But I can say that sometimes people have kind of different expectations. For example, I've spoken to people that say, well, I'm not sure if that's my dog because he was really abused before he came to me. Once they're in soul level, they're not going to go to a bunch of ugly trauma. Right. They're going to reassure you. They're going to tell you, I am great. I am so happy to be free of that body that wasn't working. They're going to try to inspire you. And it's kind of hard for you to bring your own thing through, only because there's a big, you know, emotional component. Yeah. I found that to be true with my own animals, that it was in some ways a little harder for me to bring the objective message through. So yes, I can help them do that. Sure.
Okay, that's wonderful to know. Can you share with pet parents, if they wanted to try this at home, how they would go about it?
Yes. And I can say that my most popular YouTube video, and I have over 45 of those now, is called 7 Simple Steps to Communicate with Your Animal. It's simple, but it's not easy because you have to do your work. And in some cases, it's a calling. You know, you may be able to play the piano, but you need 10 years to get there. You know what I mean? So it's a calling. So they need to get quiet, empty themselves out, open to receive. You can have a visual of that, or you could just say it out loud. Call in your soul level guides to help you. See your animal in front of you. Request that they speak to you. And just ask them very simple things. How are you feeling today? What is one of your favorite things to do? Show me your favorite toy. And then when a visual or a feeling or however you receive the information comes in, you say, yes, I got it. I got it. And this will cause your abilities to expand. The number one challenge that new folks have to this work is they don't trust what comes in because sometimes it's weird or nonsensical or you don't quite get it. And you're also early in the development of your own telepathic language. And what I mean by that is when I see a picture in my head, it means something to me, it may seem mean something completely different to you. And what I like to use for an example is a yellow rose. So if you see a yellow rose, you might think, oh, that's the color of the friendship rose or whatever it is for you. Well, for me, it means Texas. So, you know, you have to know and develop your own language, your own telepathic language.
And not judge
right.
what you're getting, right?
Right. Bring through stuff that the people, you know, like you're saying, well, I don't know, I'm getting Montana. Oh, that was my dog's favorite place to go, you know, something like that. Or, oh my gosh, that's my cat's name.
Or like take it down and maybe it's something that hasn't happened yet.
Right. That's possible too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, that's what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Also,
so cool.
You have to consider the animal perspective. So I've had a dog tell me, I have a huge, beautiful backyard and they live on a golf course, you know? So it's a perspective. It's a matter
yes, of it definitely is. Is there anything else you'd like to share with my audience?
I would like to maybe highlight the thing you said, Jody, is that there's a lot of people who fantasize that they're animal communicators that don't have the experience and haven't done their own personal work. But you may have hired one to teach yourself discrimination. However, myself and the people on the animal communicator directory of my mentor, we agree to abide by a list of ethics. And this is, I think, one of the things that sets us apart. You can read our code of ethics and you can decide from that if it's someone that you want to work with.
Wonderful. Tell people where they can find you.
They can find me at animalwhisperer.net and they can find me on YouTube at Pet Psych, or you can just put my name in there, Susan Vaughn, and it's Susan with a Z. And right now I'm working on a documentary on animal communication, so you can find me on Kickstarter too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Susan. I really appreciate the knowledge that you've shared, and I hope it was helpful for pet parents listening.
Thank you. I hope so too. Thank you, Jody. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's my pleasure, and thank you all for listening. As a pet health coach, my mission is to share holistic healing options for pets and their parents seeking a natural approach to wellness. A pet health coach is your champion, a bridge between you and your vet, where you're empowered through knowledge, resources, accountability, and support that a good health coach provides. So tune in next time for information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody Teich, and this is The Pet Health Coach.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.